Couple of announcements while we receive our offering. If we get the lights, that'd be great. Just a few announcements we'd like to make. Don't forget, our 50th anniversary is in August, and we're having a dinner. Bob, you forgot one here. That's $1 million check. We want to make sure we get that. All right. Don't forget, in August, we have our 50th anniversary. Tickets are $25 a piece. You can buy those in the foyer. Jerry Falwell's son, Jonathan Falwell, will be our keynote speaker right here in the main auditorium, so you don't want to miss that. Don't forget Vacation Bible School. It's hard to believe. It's right around the corner, just a week or two away, and you can sign up in the foyer. There's a place there, and Pastor Steve, someone will be there to help you and answer questions about Vacation Bible School. July 4th is kind of difficult this year. It's on a Tuesday. So what we've decided to do is not have a full picnic and a barbecue because we're not sure everybody will be gone that weekend. It's kind of difficult. It's in kind of the midweek. So what we're going to do on July 2nd, that's the Sunday prior to the holiday, is from about 9:30 to 11:30, we're going to have a bunch of barbecue grills out front, and we're just going to barbecue some hot dogs and give out bottles of water. And so if you want to, like, when you get done this morning, your service, I don't know if it's 9:30 is too early for a hot dog. I don't know. Is it too early for this group? Yeah. How many would eat a hot dog at 9:30? Oh, yeah, me too. I get up at 3:30 or 4, so, you know, I have my, you know, lunch for me is about 9 o'clock. Seriously, actually. So we'll have hot dogs for you guys. I'll tell those guys to get the grills on maybe at 9:20. So you guys can get a hot dog and a water on the way out. You can fellowship out in the parking lot. And those that are coming in at 9:30 can grab a couple of hot dogs and a water. And so we're going to do it from about, well, now that you're all going to eat hot dogs, about 9:15 till about 11:30. And so we'll just have some fellowship. You know, wear your red, white, and blue, and wear American colors. And we'll have patriotic music and all of those kinds of things. But just where the holiday fell made it kind of difficult. We didn't really know how many people would be here or not be here and all that kind of thing. So anyway, we're going to have hot dogs and a good time on July 2nd. So put that in the back of your brain as well. Pushaw Lake, July 30th. We'll be baptizing out at the lake. We do that once a year. If you have prayed and trusted Christ as your Savior and you'd like to get baptized in a lake just like Jesus, you can do that. All right? And you need to let us know. Email us, fill out a card. At the end of the service, our pastoral staff will be back in the back of the auditorium. There's a big welcome sign there. We'll be there. You can stop by. And also, if you're a guest today or you haven't been in a long time, if you have any questions about our church, if we've never met you, if you just stop by on your way out, we have a gift for you, especially if you're visiting today. Just want to meet you, say hi, and thank you for coming and answer any questions that you might have. I'm going to ask Janelle and Zayden to come, if they would. This is Janelle and Zayden Cadman, and they're doing something really cool this summer. And we just want to have a word of prayer for them in all of our services this morning, so come right ahead, Janelle. Come right up on, come on up, Zayden. Come up here. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you tell the folks what you're going to be doing?
I might cry.
That's okay. You want me to do it?
Give me a minute.
I'll give you a minute.
Excuse me. I didn't expect you to have to talk. Zayden and I have the opportunity to go back to Ghana, Africa. And I've been going to Ghana before I was a mom, and I've been going since 2000. And a little bit of story. 2012, God called me there full time. And I didn't go. I was disobedient. I became a chicken.
That wasn't a mistake.
No, I sinned. My, you know, stand before you as a sinner. And came to Cross Point 3 years ago, pretty in rough shape. it's been incredible. And almost fell off my chair when Pastor announced that he was going to go to Ghana, Africa last year. Like, I just knew. I went, they went for the first time. God was pretty clear that it was time to be obedient. So I connected with some old friends who are there full time, they live there, and they're like, yep, come. So Zay and I are leaving in a week. We're gonna go for 2 months. We're gonna come back, sell the house, move, and look at doing missions full time.
Amen. Amen. Right here.
Well, we're very happy for Janelle going this summer as a scouting trip to get all of the details worked out. And then, as she said, selling her house and looks like going full-time to Africa, which is pretty cool. And last week, we had a family that are going full-time to Belize. And so 2 weeks in a row, we're sending people out from our church to be full-time missionaries, which is really cool. And the Pettingales, by the way, did email. They arrived safely this week, so they're getting all set up in that country. And Janelle will be leaving in a week, and we need to pray for her. Amen, church? As a single mom. And she's going to be working with ladies and children and just helping any way she can in the church. There are a ton of kids in Ghana that need help, and they're willing to do that. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we close in prayer. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask, is Pastor Gary still here? Come ahead, Pastor Gary. Let me grab that microphone again. I didn't see you in here because you weren't. Come right ahead. I'm going to ask Pastor Gary, he's our missions pastor, just to pray for Janelle and Zayden as they go to the mission field, that God would anoint them and bless them, and that'll give me time to get to the back corner, so please stop by and say hello. Well, we just want to say that we're very proud of you to step out by faith and to do this, and we wish you Godspeed, and we love you, and we're glad that you're following God's call in your life. And that's awesome. And that relationship has been restored. It's kind of interesting, the message today.
humbling.
Yeah. Well, God doesn't do things, does he, by mistake. God works purposeful, doesn't he? Well, we're really thankful and really excited for you. Okay, Pastor Gary, why don't you pray for this missionary family? All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we are so very, very grateful for the call upon our lives, that you've called us to spread the word of God, something the angels don't even get to do. So we pray for Janelle and Zayden, that you would protect them, help them, give them clarity of thought while they're there on the field. And God, our Father, we look forward to great things happening through their lives. May the kingdom be strengthened, expanded, and Father God, may their lives with you be strengthened and expanded as well. So we pray for them. May we as a church pray for them daily as we lift them up before you. Again, empower them as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Like sunlight burning in midnight, making my life something so beautiful, beautiful, mercy reaching to save me. All that I need of you is so beautiful. Not that we couldn't do it anyway.
Before our opening song, we have a Father's Day video that will go before the opening song, just so. What's that? No, it's probably your battery. Is it a fresh one? Nah, you probably want a fresh one. Let's do. Let's do Good, Good Father as the warm-up. You guys good with that? You ready? Good Father. Yeah.
You've been walking with me all this, all this. Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. But am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find.
Dads out there, let's go ahead and stand this morning and ask the Lord, our Heavenly Father, to have His way in this place this morning. I'll sing out together.
We've waited for this day, we've gathered in your calling out to you. Your glory like the fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth.
all sing it out together. Your presence.
Your presence in this place. Your glory on our face. We're looking to the skies. You're descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes.
Give you praise this morning, Lord.
Good morning. Welcome to our first of two contemporary services here on Father's Day. And we are so glad that you are here. Now, hopefully, all of you fathers received a piece of paper when you came in this morning. We just want you to print your first and last name on that. And after we get singing in a few moments, we're going to have some prizes to give away. We've got some great gift certificates for our dads. So if you didn't get one, we'll give you a chance to get one a little bit later before we draw. So don't worry about that at all. We are just glad that everybody is here today. We are now in the throes of summer in Maine. And isn't it great, church? Amen? Wonderful. Been waiting a long, long time. Well, listen, if this is your very first time visiting Cross Point Church, or maybe it's been a long, long time, maybe years and years, if you'd be gracious enough to just take that card in front of you sometime during the lesson this morning and fill that out, it should only take you probably a minute. We'll also collect that at the very end of our service. And for all of us that are here today, if you have a prayer request, if you would just fill out the opposite side of that card, we'd appreciate that as well. Listen, thank you so much for coming today. God bless you. We love you. We are so glad that you are here. Let's bow our heads and ask God's richest blessing as we continue our service. Father, thank you so much for all that you do. You are such a loving, gracious God. We pray your richest blessing on all of the dads, especially today. Thank you that they could come. We just ask, God, that you would just give them a hedge of protection. Thank you for their fatherhood. And Lord, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father and that you love us. And Lord, we pray today as we open up your word, as we fellowship together, as we sing, we would just ask, God, that our minds and our hearts would be renewed and be refreshed, And God, most of all, that you would be glorified in all that we do. And we ask all of this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
I'll remain standing if you would. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our cornerstone?
church, He is Lord. He is Lord of all. We give Him praise this morning, God. And we offer ourselves to You. We are Yours.
Yeah.
Father, and He loves us without end, forever and ever and ever. Washing that love this morning.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of one thing. Think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. Yes, who you are.
God, we thank you that you are our good, good Father. And that is who you are. Our identity in you changes everything. God, help us to believe that today. That we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, heirs of the King. There's no need to live in want, in poverty, spiritually. God, but we have everything, all the heavenly riches in Christ Jesus are promised to us. God, we claim those today as sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seated. Well, good morning. If you are a father and you did not get a piece of paper to write your name on it and you would like to be in the drawing, would you raise your hand? We want to make sure we've got some over here. Right down here on the front left side, Rich, way down front. Just keep your hand up if you'd like to be in the drawing. If you don't want to be, that's fine too, but we'd like for you to be. Down here, Rich, right down here, Rolly, down in the front, or Dale's going to get them. Just, I know there's some hands down front here. Okay, want to make sure we get everybody. Raise your hand. Okay, once your name is written on there, I want everybody to pass them to your left. Pass them to your left, and we'll collect them. Keep raising your hand if you didn't get one, but pass them to your left, guys, and we're going to collect all the names. We've got three gift certificates that we would like to give out to our dads, and we want to thank God for all of our dads this morning here at Cross Point Church. Father's Day and Mother's Day, we like to honor those that are moms and dads. You know, maybe it's me being a dad and being a guy. I mean, Father's Day is good and awesome, but it's not like Mother's Day, is it, guys? It's not the same, is it, Dave? I mean, not that it's bad, but it's just not the same thing. Mother's Day just seems to be a little bit special, but Father's Day is cool, but not as cool. We're cool guys, but Father's Day is not cool, right? Okay, we're going to collect all of those names, and somebody's going to bring them up, and we're going to have a drawing. I think we're collecting them all. Just about got them. All right. If we didn't collect your paper, jump up and wave right now, because, or you'll have to stay for the third service and put yours in then. All right. Come on up, Rolly. You can come on up. I think we did this first. Yeah.
No, not me.
Must have been another handsome guy beside you. Yeah. I tell you what, why don't you pick? That way the pastor won't be looked at as playing favorites, you know. So I figured this out over the years. All right, let me see. Who do we have? We have Mark Reed. Where's Mark Reed? Where's Mark? Come on up, wherever you are. There he is right there. All right. Mark, come right ahead. Congratulations. Happy Father's Day. There's a certificate for you, and you can do whatever you want with it. All right? Yeah. Okay. Two stuck together there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Mickey Carmichael. Where's Mickey? Congratulations. Hang on to those for me. And while he's coming, why don't we go ahead and we've got one in the front row, one in the back row, so you guys mixed them up. Yeah, we need one over here. What can you do? Okay? All right. Mickey, happy Father's Day. God bless you. All right. All right. Ray Bissett, where's Ray? Where's Ray? Oh, you did do a good job. All right, why don't you take that down with you? Head out right out that way, and we'll give him his certificate. All right, that's awesome. Congratulations. Happy Father's Day. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we ask your blessings now as we get ready to begin our morning lesson. We pray that you would challenge our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Very good. Well, welcome to church today. Thanks for coming. I don't know why, but I just feel like I'm in a real good mood this service. Last mood, I think I was a little droggy. I'm not even sure what I said. But anyway, I'm sure half of it was okay. No one stormed out halfway during the lesson. But anyway, you know, it's interesting as a public speaker, if you've never done it, speaking 3 straight hours is difficult. Because your mind, from one service to the other, sometimes you can't remember what you say. And the good thing about it is I've got 3 times or 3 opportunities to get it right. That's the positive part. So the 11 o'clock probably has the purest lesson of all 3, actually. Well, that being said, if you weren't here last week, I want to challenge you to go on our website and watch it. And the reason is very simple, because it's the foundation for the entire series. So once again, if you didn't have a chance last week, if you were sick or away or vacation or just didn't feel like coming that day, whatever the reason, if you could make that up, I think that would be extremely positive. I just want to review a couple of points from last week. Obviously, we can't do the whole lesson, but we mentioned that everything has a starting point. And we kind of laughingly said that you even have a starting point in your own life. Some of you were planned, some of you were unplanned, but we're glad that you were here. All right? We talked about dating, we talked about marriage, we talked about our careers, a lot of things. But everything, obviously, has a starting point. And that was the crux of our lesson. We also talked about if we could restart or retool our faith, if we could kind of put everything out of our mind that we learned as a child, or maybe if you came to faith as an adult, if you could maybe put everything out of your mind that you learned as an adult when you first came to faith and you restarted, what would it look like? And that's what we're doing for this entire series. This is really, for me personally, it's a great series. Because a lot of people I found over the years, even though when they were young or when they came to Christ, people were sincere in their teaching, sometimes they were taught some kind of unusual things that didn't quite necessarily match up to what they really needed theologically in their personal life. And it kind of messed them up in a way and led them on a path that wasn't destructive, but it was just enough to maybe discourage them or maybe even have them drop out of church or maybe be in church, but not necessarily be that engaged. So what would it look like if we were to restart this particular process of faith? Because everything has a beginning, just like our faith. In our faith, last week we talked about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17. And we shared that Paul gave his testimony and gave the gospel before the New Testament was written. He had the Old Testament. He did not have the New Testament. He did not have the Bible that we have today. We have, obviously, 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, for a grand total of 66 individual books that give us information that help us to connect with God more, especially Jesus. But Paul didn't have that. About 20 years after Jesus Christ had gone to heaven, after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we find Paul in the city of Athens, and he begins to share the gospel, what he had heard from others. And he shared the gospel before he had the written New Testament. That's very important, because we find that Paul had a starting point of faith with the question is, who is Jesus? And we shared that our starting point in our faith has to do with Jesus. Would you agree with that as a general rule? I mean, that's the starting point, Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, we start today talking to people that don't have faith, or maybe people that are struggling in their faith. Well, the Bible says, but you know, the reality of it is, that's not necessarily the best place to start, because people don't always buy in to the Bible. So we have to take them further back and start with Jesus, because Jesus came along before the New Testament was written. Now, today I want to talk about a subject. And before I put it on the screen, I just want to caution you, it's not what you think it's going to be. It's actually going to be a positive message. You're going to see the word, you're going to think, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have come today. So just give me a break, just hang in there with me, and relax, all right? Oh, pastor's going to preach on all of my bad points. No, actually, that's not it at all. I'm going to give you an opportunity to understand this word sin like you've never understood it before. In fact, you're going to walk away today and think, some of you will anyway, and probably most of you will, and say, you know, I have never thought about it that way. And now some of the dots are starting to connect. Well, as we think about this particular word sin, we really only use it in what we call a theological sense. I mean, it's primarily, it's a church word, isn't it? You know, we read about it in the Bible, and, you know, pastors will talk about it. And so we kind of see and hear this word, but it's mostly in a theological realm. Also, it is such a heavy word. It feels so condemning, doesn't it? There's just something about that word. Just like that song, there's just something about that name, as we think about the name of Jesus. And then there's just something about this word sin that just feels so heavy on us. It feels so condemning for us. Well, as we think about this particular word, what we've done today is a general rule in the church and in society, we have substituted another word for sin. And that's the word what? Yeah, about six if you can read. Praise the Lord. All right. Mistake. I just want to make sure if we have a literate group or not, but that's okay. I can work with it. Don't worry. Okay? Mistake. If you listen regularly to the news or even halfway listen to the news, oftentimes, sadly, too many times, professional athletes, politicians, from the president all the way down to congressmen and representatives, rock stars, Hollywood movie stars, every once in a while, they will do something and they will come on the air and they will say something like this: I have done, and they'll fill in the blank. And then they will say, I want everybody to know I am sorry and I have made a mistake. Well, that's true. They have made a mistake. But I want to share with you today a little bit more than just making a mistake. I want to share with you today the difference between a mistake and sin. Part of a challenge as a pastor today in the 21st century in which we live is we have watered down, like I've already said, words like sin, where really nobody does anything wrong, everybody just makes a mistake. It's just a mistake. Just a mistake. And I think part of that comes from our upbringing, what we learned in church. And we're going to talk about that as well. And we can learn as grandparents and parents how to better deal with those individuals in our family that are our kids and grandkids if we listen and learn today. And maybe you're searching for God today. Or maybe you're here and you're a little bit disenchanted with God. I'm hopeful today that this message will maybe help you to turn the corner in some form or fashion. You know, when we think about mistake, primarily it's this. We do things where we have basically insufficient knowledge or information. One definition I found as well in the dictionary said, a mistake is an error of misunderstanding. Now, if you invite me over for dinner sometime, that'd be wonderful. You don't have to, but that'd be wonderful. We're always open to a meal. And you were to give me your address, let's say it's 263 Smith Avenue. I don't know if there is such a place. We'll just call it that. And you give that piece of paper to me, and I lose that piece of paper, and I tell Jane, hey, we're going to, let's just pick out, we're going to the Mix House. We'll just use myself. And the address is 263 Jones Road. And I Google Jones Road, and I end up, you can imagine, a long way from Smith Lane. And then I call you up an hour after I'm supposed to be there and say, what is your address again? And you give me the right address. That is a mistake. You all agree with that? A few years ago, it's been quite a few years ago now, I've shared this before, but you've probably forgotten it. I was asked to teach a Bible study for the men on a Saturday morning. They were having a men's breakfast. So the guy in charge said, "Pastor, would you come by and do the devotion this week? Teach a short Bible study?" "Sure, I'll be there. What time is it?" 8 o'clock. "Great. Where is it?" "Well, it was the old Kevlam." And I said, "Sure, I'll be there." And they said, "Oh, about 15 minutes would be great." And I said, "Yeah, no problem. I'll be there." He asked me, I think it was on a Sunday, "By the way, sidebar, if you ask me anything on a Sunday morning, unless you email me, text me, I'm probably not going to remember it. That's just the way it is. And if you've ever asked me anything on Sunday, if you've done that, I always tell you, you have to email me, text me, or it ain't going to happen. Just isn't. With three service and talking to 800 to 1,000 people and trying to remember all that, that's not going to happen. So when I forget, that is a mistake, and ultimately, it's your fault for not emailing and texting me. Okay? So if you ask me something and you don't email or text, that's on you. All right? We all got that clear. All right, back to the sidebar. I don't even know where I was on the sidebar. All right, but the reality of it is this, is that a mistake is much different than sin. We've grown up in churches, many of us, where we have been taught when we've done something wrong to go to somebody. We would learn this with little kids. Go to mommy and say, "I'm sorry." Well, that's a good thing to do. Wouldn't you agree with that? Great thing to do. But we're going to find out today that it's a little more than that. That's a great place to start. But what happens is we carry that training all the way through into adulthood. And that creates a problem for us. So mistake is when we have insufficient knowledge. We try to figure something out. We take a shot at it. Or it's an error of misunderstanding. Now, how many of you have ever made it? Now, I need everybody to participate, all right? So just for a moment, let's just play a game that I'm God. And if you don't listen to God, I can strike you dead in your chair, all right? So we need you to participate. How many of you have ever made a mistake? Okay, everybody's alive, so I didn't kill anybody, all right? How many of you have ever sinned? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Because what we wanted to do was have a little fun with this survey. Was it harder to raise your hand because you've sinned or because you've made a mistake? Yeah, some the same, but most people would say sin. It's just the way it is. That's why, when we get back to the example before I went to the sidebar, when people come and they confess on public television that they've done something wrong, they will say that I've made a huge mistake, which is true. Now, as we think about this word, I want us to understand, because this will help us in our daily faith. It will help people, I think, that possibly are struggling with faith. Let me read some things to you, and then you can decide whether they're true or not. True or false, okay? Sometimes we make mistakes on purpose. True or false? Do we make mistakes on purpose? Right, we don't make mistakes on purpose. No. Anybody, I mean, did I go to 263 Jones on purpose? No, it was a mistake. So we agree, we don't make mistakes on purpose. How about this one? Sometimes we actually plan our mistakes. Anybody plan mistakes? No. We don't plan mistakes. How about this one? Sometimes we make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Now listen to the question. Same mistake over and over again. Do we make the same mistake over and over again? I mean, how many times would I have driven to Jones Street? Unless I'm really kind of stupid. I may have done it one more time, but I probably wouldn't do it every single time that I wanted to go to Smith, right? To 263 Smith. Of course we don't. We don't make the same mistake over and over and over and over and over again. So what do you call a person? What would you call a person? Or a behavior that makes a mistake on purpose? Who plans a mistake? Who does a mistake over and over and over again? Well, would we call that person a mistaker? Or would we call that person a... It's a smart group. As we say in Maine, this is a sharp group, right? Well, as we think about this word today, because this is foundational in our faith. When we think about the word correction, what do we do? Well, probably if you make a mistake, you do what? You correct it. If you're baking an apple pie and you put too much of one ingredient in it and it comes out and it doesn't taste well, then you realize, oh my goodness, I put too much of that ingredient in it. Now, that might be a sin if you purposely gave it to somebody you didn't like. That might work, right? But my guess is you didn't do that. You did your very best, but somehow, some way, you just got discombobulated, or maybe you forgot to put an ingredient in, and you said, oh my goodness, I made that taste horrible. I can't make that mistake again. That's a mistake. We get that. We understand that. So as we think about mistakes, we have to ask the question then what is a sinner? Not a mistaker. What is a sinner? It's a good question. Well, let me give you a simple definition as we restart our faith, as we retool, we rethink from some of the things that we learn, maybe as a child or a young person or even an adult in church. Probably one of the simple definitions can be defined this way: as a person who knows better and what? Yeah, does it anyway. Does it anyway. It's probably one of the most simple definitions that we could come up with. Well, as we think about a sinner or sin, let me ask you a question. Why can't you or I do what I know I should do? Isn't there something in your life that you know you should be doing or you know you shouldn't be doing? I think we're all there. I mean, after all, your wife has tried to correct you. How's that going? Or your husband's tried to correct you. Your family and your friends have tried to correct you. Why do you continue to do the things that seem to be destructive to you and others? Are those mistakes? I don't think so. I don't think they're mistakes. So if they're not mistakes, they must be what? So what does sin do? Why is this topic so important for all of us as a church to understand? I mean, we admit we're all sinners. I mean, the Bible is very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all not done things we shouldn't have done. We know that. So what does it do? What's the ramifications of sin, of not doing what we're supposed to do? You know what boils down, really, when you bring it all down to the funnel? It comes down to this. Sin breaks relationships. You say, Jerry, how do you know that? Well, let me ask you a question, and you can decide on your own. How many of you have had a broken relationship with someone over a mistake? I would submit maybe a few, but doubtful. If you break a relationship because somebody made a mistake, you're the problem. You've got bigger issues. How many of us have had broken relationships over sin? Yeah. See the difference? You see, sin has a way of breaking relationships in two ways. One, it breaks our relationship with individuals, and second of all, it breaks our relationship with whom? God. A mistake would never break our relationship with God, would it? I don't think so. But sin does. Well, as we think about sin, this relationship breaking part, what did Jesus have to say about it? I would submit to you that Jesus' purpose in talking about sin in the New Testament has more to do with restoration than condemnation. Here's one of the problems that we have. Let's just keep it to our church, our church. Other churches have the same, but we're not in those churches. Let's just talk about Cross Point. Imagine what would happen when people at Cross Point sin. We're going to give you some definitions and talk more in just a moment. But if you know somebody that sinned or somebody has fallen into sin, how much cooler would it be for us to talk about their restoration than their condemnation? But you know what we do is we talk more about their what? Condemnation than we do their restoration. Well, the difference is simply this: a mistake does not require forgiveness. A mistake requires to simply say, "Oh, I'm sorry. My bad." Because you see, there was no offense. And that's the difference. Forgiveness requires that an offense was committed, that something was purposeful, that something was intentional. Mistakes don't require that, even though we say, "Boy, I'm sorry." We may even say, "Forgive me." It's not really needed. But most people say, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry I was an hour late. Oh, I'm sorry I forgot that appointment. Oh, I didn't write it in my calendar. Those are mistakes. I'm really sorry. Forgiveness, though, requires that an offense was committed, something purposefully, something knowingly was done. So as we think about this word and maybe how you were taught as a child how to deal with sin, maybe this has given you a new revelation or a new way to look at it. You see, an offender must admit to the one who was offended that an offense was actually done and that it was not a mistake, and I ask for your forgiveness. I'll just pick on Mike since he's in the front row. Mike, I want you to know that I said some really bad things about you to Steve. And I also want you to know that I was absolutely wrong. And I sinned. And Mike, will you forgive me? That's A. Here's B. Hey, Mike, you heard that I said some things about you. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. You remember when you get your eyes checked and they say better or worse? So let me ask you, which one do you think exemplifies taking responsibility, ownership, and really taking responsibility and owning it? Was it A or B? Here's the challenge we have. Is that most operate with B. Therefore, never fully taking responsibility, because it's very hard for people to say that I sinned. Now you say, "Jerry, isn't this kind of splitting hairs?" Not really. One is really taking responsibility, putting yourself on the line, admitting that you were wrong, owning up to the wrong, and asking for forgiveness. The other one is, well, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, let's kind of move on. And things really don't get resolved that way. Jesus gave some examples. He said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness or your behavior, the way you live, surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, the religious people, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, the scribes and Pharisees, their full-time job was being good. That's really what it was. They'd memorize the Old Testament. Remember, the New Testament hadn't been written yet. And they lived a pompous life, what they thought was above sin. So Jesus said, well, let's talk about that. He said, you guys have heard, the ancients were told, you shall not commit a murder. And they all said, well, yeah, we haven't committed a murder. We're pretty righteous guys. I mean, yeah, that's right. Well, Jesus went on, and he said, but I say to you that anyone who is angry at his brother shall be guilty before the court. Jesus went on to say that as far as God's concerned, in relation to God, committing murder is the same as being angry and taking advantage of your brother or sister. Now, it's not on this level man to man, but it is this way. Because you see, with God, it's that sin that keeps you separated from Him, whether it's anger or murder. We cannot enter in to the kingdom of God unless we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, till we become righteous, till our behavior comes that represents that of God. He says, I'll give you another example. He says, you guys have all heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, and this here is primarily dealing with physical adultery. And what did all the religious people say? We have not committed. Yeah, we've not done that. I mean, come on, Jesus, we're the righteous group. Jesus, well, let me go a little bit further with you guys. He said, but I would say to you that every one of you guys that looks on a woman to lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Is Jesus saying that physical adultery is the same as what we would call today eye adultery? No, he's not. What he is saying is that in our relationship with God, God looks at sin. Any sin will keep us separated from having that relationship with God. And what he was trying to share with these guys is you guys are separating mistakes from sin. Then as we go on, we continue to look at another great verse. John chapter 8, verse 11. You remember the lady that was caught in adultery? You remember that story? You can read the whole thing in John chapter 8. And I don't know how they did that. They must have followed him around and peeked in the window. I don't know how they did that. They didn't have anything to record it. But supposedly this happened. And they caught this couple. And they brought the lady, which is interesting. That was that culture at that time. And the lady was brought. And you remember how they came and said that she deserved death. And Jesus said, well, whoever is without sin, cast the first. There were no stones thrown, and they all walked away. Remember that? And she said, no one condemns me, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Her condemnation was in getting caught. She had already suffered enough condemnation. She already knew what she had done was wrong. So Jesus didn't come along and pound on her even harder. Yeah, you sinner, you bang, 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 bang. No. He said, because you've admitted, because you now understand, I'm not going to condemn you. From now on, go and sin no more. Do no longer live like that. No longer commit that sin. I am here to what? Restore the relationship with God. Not to condemn you in your sin, but to restore your relationship with me. Jesus did not come to condemn, he came to restore, which is very, very important. Think of this. In Luke chapter 15, there are three stories. There's the story of the lost sheep, there is the story of the lost coin, and there's the story of the lost son. Just a quick thing about the lost son. If you remember the story, you're not familiar with the story, simply this, is that a son who had gone a little wild and became very selfish, wanted his inheritance before his father died. The father gave him the inheritance. To make a long story short, he went to Las Vegas and he blew it all on wine, women, and song. After he was broke and nowhere to go, and he's homeless on the street, the Bible actually says he's eating with the pigs, he decides, well, maybe it's best that I go home. He comes home. And the son said to him, "Father, I have just made a mistake. I'm sorry." No, that's not what happened. He said, "I have sinned. I have purposely, knowingly done something that I should not have done. I am here to take full responsibility. I did not make a mistake. I sinned. I did something that I knew I shouldn't have done. And not only did I do it in front of you, but I also did it against what, church? Basically, that's right, God. In fact, here's how contrite he was. Here's how broken he was. Here's how much he realized that his purposeful sin had hurt his relationship with his father. He said, "I am no longer even worthy to be called your son." And the father condemned him. Is that what it says? No. When the young man took responsibility, realized what he had done, was broken over it, confessed it wasn't a mistake, it was a sin, immediately the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him. Bring out the ring, put it on his hand. Put new sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf. Kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine, which was dead, has now come back to life again. He was lost, and he's been found," and they began to celebrate. What did the father do when the son admitted his sin, that he wasn't a mistaker, but a sinner? He did not condemn him. Immediately, the relationship was what? Restored. And that's what God does with us. I'm not here to have anybody doubt their salvation. I'm not here for anybody to doubt their spirituality. But I am here to challenge you. Listen, when you came to Christ and you came as a mistaker instead of a sinner, you may have some spiritual problems. Because your life as a Christian will show that you are not deep, that you are not mature, that you're not able to deal with conflict, that you're not able to admit that you sinned against somebody. You'll have struggle forgiving. And so I challenge all of us to really look and listen what I've been trying to share this morning, because it is foundational in our Christian walk. So what happens when we admit that we're a sinner? Well, I would attest this. This only happens. Relationships are restored, not only with people, but with God, only when we realize the difference and take full responsibility for our actions. I wonder what kind of church we would have if all of us took responsibility and owned up and said, "I've sinned. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It's all my fault." It's hard to do, isn't it? So the question is this: do you resist the idea that you are a sinner and not a mistaker? And if so, I would simply ask the question, why is that? Why would that be the case? That's the challenge today. If you want to know God in a personal way, and become a Christian, then you have to admit that you're a sinner, not a mistaker. If you want to have a strong Christian life or a stronger Christian life in dealing with men, and I mean that in a generic sense, men and women, mankind, humankind, womankind, whatever you want to call it, then you've got to come to the place when you mess up that you admit that you've sinned and you've just not made a mistake. A mistake is a mistake. A sin is a sin. It's good stuff. It's really good stuff. And I would encourage you to apply that in your personal life. And I'd just like to put this on the screen before we close. If you don't know Jesus today, if you were to die today without Christ, would you go to heaven? Admitting you're a mistaker will not do. You see, the prayer, the commitment says, Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died on the cross to forgive me of my mistakes. No. Of my sins. That's important. And right now, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and to come into my life and save my soul. Then the rest of the prayer is to simply ask God to help you grow as a believer in Jesus. Father, bless now our offering. Thank you for the opportunity to have gathered together today. I ask your richest blessing on those that are here, in Jesus' name, amen. If you are a guest today, we would ask that you not give any money. If anybody had a chance to fill out a card today, if you would simply drop that card in the offering plate, we would appreciate it so very, very much. I'm going to ask Janelle and Zayden if they would come. Last week, the Pettingale family made a commitment to go full-time to Belize. And they, by the way, are already in Belize, and they're doing wonderful, getting settled. And this week, we have Janelle and Zayden. They're coming, and they're also making a commitment, and I'm going to allow her to share that commitment. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Hi, everybody. Can you please stand still? Yeah.
We're excited. Do you want to say something, Zayden?
You're fine.
yeah, that's great. We're very excited that Janelle's going to be working with children and ladies and kind of like a lot what Deb is doing here, actually. Same type of ministry that Deb has here. And working in a local church and going out to the bush and And that's 2 weeks in a row we've had people going to the mission field. That's really good. And we're very excited about that. And we just wanted to pray for her and to ask God's blessing on her. And we're very excited for you. And we'll always be here for you. And so don't worry, okay? So would you just bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? Father, we ask your blessings upon Janelle and Zayden. Thank you, God, for Janelle's faith and her commitment and finally surrendering her life to you. And we pray, God, as they leave next week, that you would just anoint her. And Lord, as she works with women and children in Africa, God, that you would just help her to be the woman that you've called her to be. And we're thankful for her willingness to step out and follow you. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. We love you guys. All right. God bless you. All right. Watch your step. I just wanted to mention just a couple of other things really quick. I can't think of anything that blesses my heart more than people wanting to go to the mission field full time. It's just very, very exciting. And as she said, last year our church went to Ghana. She did not tell you, but she had gone 8 times before. 8 times she'd been to Ghana. And so when I mentioned we were going to Ghana, she just about came up out of her seat. And but for her, that was a clear sign that she needed to go full time, and now she's done that. I want to remind you that our 50th anniversary as a church is in August, and you can purchase tickets in the foyer after the service. Also, Vacation Bible School is right around the corner, and you can sign up to help in the foyer as well. July 4th weekend is kind of odd this year because it falls. July 4th is on a Tuesday. Normally, we have one service and have a big cookout, but by virtue of where it falls, that's going to be difficult for us. So what we're going to do is on July 2nd, we're going to have all three services and like we normally do. I would ask everybody, you know, to kind of wear red, white, and blue. We'll have patriotic music. We'll have a patriotic service, but we'll have all three services. And what we're going to do from about 9:15 in the morning until about 11:30, 11:45 in the morning, we're going to have 4 or 5 guys out front with their barbecue grills, and we're going to be barbecuing hot dogs and give away hot dogs and bottles of water. So like this service is now over, you could go out and have hot dogs before you leave if you'd like to, or you could come early. See, one child really wants a hot dog, see? And or you could come early before the 11, the 9:30 service, and you grab a hot dog on your way in. In fact, you can get one on the way in and one on the way out if you really want to. That's fine, too. That's all right. So just a little celebration, kind of a little bit less than a full picnic and games just because of the virtue of where it falls. If 4th of July falls, you know, on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, you know, everybody's gone. So we usually have one service. We usually have myself and the music director show up, and that's about it. And but seriously, we have a picnic because we don't have that many people. It's a little easier to control and so forth. But because of where it falls this year, I don't know how many people are going to be gone that weekend. Maybe it'll be the same. We don't know. But anyway, we just decided to mix it up this year. So feel free to come early, stay late, grab some hot dogs on the way in and out of church and some water and so forth, and just hang around, talk, and fellowship. So that would be wonderful. We'd love for you to do that. Then one last thing, and then I'll close this in prayer. July 30th, we'll be baptizing out of Pushaw Lake. If you've prayed and received Christ as your Savior and you'd like to get baptized just like Jesus did in the lake, you can do that. And so we'll be out at Pushaw Lake. We're going to call it the Jordan River that day. So if you'd like to be baptized outside, please sign up, text us, email us, fill out a card, let us know. We'll sign you up. We'll give you all the details later. How's that sound? Pretty good? Hey, listen, dads, have a great Father's Day with your family or traveling or whatever the case may be. Those of us like myself that have lost our dads, we're not able to do that. So I would encourage you, if you have a dad, to take advantage of it. Amen? If you still have dad here, take advantage of it, and I know you will. Well, let's stand together, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, go with us today on this Father's Day. Thank you, God, so much for all that you do. Bless now as we go our separate ways. Thank you for our guests today. We pray, God, that you would just bless them today for being here, and help all of us, God, as we go from this place, to understand more about the subject that we talked about today. God, help all of us to be responsible, to be accountable, to make things right. It's so very, very important in restoring relationships. Go with us today, we ask. Give us a great day on Father's Day. And all of God's people said, Amen. Back in the left part of the auditorium, if you have questions about our church, if you'd like to join our church, feel free to drop back there. If you're a guest this morning, please drop by. We have some gifts for you. We'd love to give you one. Hey, guys, have a great day. I know a place.